What does it mean to live differently? Hi, I'm Jenna. Welcome to the Simple Home Podcast. The real reason behind this podcast is to encourage you to live differently. In a society that tells us that more is better and busy is to be expected, I want to give you permission and tips and tricks to help you create a simpler home, simpler days, and cherished moments. Each week, we'll talk about decluttering, organizing, and managing a home. We'll talk about thriving in motherhood, slowing down, and cherishing the journey. Most importantly, we'll have real conversations with real moms who are choosing to live differently and finding joy in motherhood. Take the first step to simplifying your motherhood and head over to athomewithkids.com/resources to find a free resource that's perfect for you in the season that you're in. And stick with me each week as we dive into these topics together. Well, hey there. Welcome to another episode of the Simple Home Podcast. In case we haven't met before, my name is Jenna, and I am so thrilled to have you join me this week. This week, I had the pleasure of talking with Michael from In Over My Head podcast, and he reached out to me, and I looked at his website and his podcast and was so excited to have him join us because, one, we don't get a lot of male voices on here, and I do have males in the audience, and I have heard that from them that it's a lot of girls on here, and so I apologize about that. I will reach out to more male voices because I think that they have a great outlook on this whole simplicity thing too that may be different than what I have to say. I also just love this guy's story. Michael decided to live in a tiny house, and so he kind of goes through what that looked like for him. I, of course, do not expect every listener to want to, you know, move into a tiny house and get rid of everything they own. But I think the whole point is that he made this decision that was best for him and was very intentional about what his goals were, what his dreams were, and he made it happen. And it's different from the norm. He had to go away from what he, has always been told was what was right. And so I love that because I think it's so inspiring when we hear stories like that so that we can take a step back in our lives and decide, is this the way I want to be living or is this the way I think I should be living? So I think that's great. He's going to talk to us about sustainability. He's got so much wisdom about this topic. And if you are really, really interested in learning more, he does interview quite a few experts on his podcast, In Over My Head podcast, just about the environment and how we can make some major changes to protect our earth. So if you want to know more about that side, make sure to go over and listen to his podcast. I know he has a wealth of information there and he brings on awesome guests to share that information with us as well. Today, he does talk about sustainability. But in this interview, he's also just going to talk about his mindset and, you know, how we can pull some of these ideas from what he did as far as moving into a tiny home and what that process was and bring them into our own lives no matter what our goal is. Our goal doesn't have to be to live in a tiny house to get lots and lots of value from Michael. So I hope you love this interview as much as I did. Let's go ahead and jump in. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the Simple Home Podcast today. I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Janet.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we dive into our topic, can you tell my audience all about yourself?
For sure. So I'm Michael. I live in Canada. I'm an actor by training and a writer, and I make films and all sorts of creative things. I'm also the host and producer of the In Over My Head podcast. And probably the biggest thing about me and the reason that I'm talking with you today is because I live in an off-grid tiny house. And it's 175 square feet, and I built it over myself over 4 years. And my partner and I and our three cats live in our little house together on a farm.
That's awesome. Can you kind of tell us what made you make that decision? How did you go? Like, what was your life like before? Where did you live? And what made you go into a tiny house?
Yeah, so I'm in my mid-30s now, and I was in my late 20s. And actually, I just gotten out of an eight-year relationship with my college girlfriend. And we were together almost a decade and it was always we, and then suddenly it was just me and I had to figure out what my life looked like. And being in my late 20s, I thought, well, I should probably kind of settle down somewhere. And so I thought maybe buying a house was a good idea, but I still wanted to travel and I wanted to maybe go back to school possibly. And I thought about it and I probably had heard about tiny houses, but somehow that idea just kind of came to the forefront. And in some ways, it brought all of those things together in that I could learn because I'm building my own house. It was on wheels, so I was able to travel if I wasn't, you know, tied down to a single place. And then instead of just traveling, which is great by itself, you know, eventually if I was traveling around, I'd maybe come back or wherever I ended up and I would still be renting a house. I'd still be, you know, like I wouldn't have anything. So that idea of owning my own home was still attractive, but not being tied into a huge mortgage and being an environmentally focused person, that was also a factor for me as well. And living in a small house, trying to lower my environmental footprint was another thing that I considered. So that was, yeah, I was in my late 20s. That would have been 2017. And then over 4 years, I built the house. And we've been living in it a year now and really enjoying it.
That's awesome. Did you have like construction experience before going into it? Or was this just something you took on and you learned as you went?
Yeah, a little bit of both. My dad was a welder and a mechanic, and he taught me to weld. I've been welding since I was a teenager. And so we built the trailer ourselves, and it had a lot of metal work in the design. And I was a framer after art school. I built houses for a while, like just framing the houses. So I had some experience, but I definitely was not a jack of all trades. I'd never done much plumbing or installed a window or did any siding or a roof or anything. So there was a lot of self-learning, lots of reading books and talking to people and even YouTube videos at the time. And there's even more so now, so many resources for people who want to do this. I definitely, it's good to have some building experience because it is definitely a huge undertaking. I would say almost even more so than a regular house, because in a traditional house, everything is pretty standard. You have your space for your oven and then your space for your fridge. And then you just have rooms, where with a tiny house, you really have to consider the entire space and exactly how big is my countertop and where does that end? And what size fridge do I want? And do I want an oven or do I want a cooktop? And you have to make the best use of the space and have storage everywhere. So that in itself was just so much planning and, but it's okay. It all worked out.
Yeah. What I love about that is you really have to be intentional about your space. And I think even those of us who do not live in a tiny house, who want to live a little bit simpler, have to think those things through, right? And what's important to have and what makes the most sense for us so that we can create more space and more white space really sometimes for us. So I love that you said that, because I think that's beneficial to no matter what size house we live in, just thinking through, you know, do we really need this giant bed or would a smaller one suffice? Or do we need, you know, the whole fridge or would a smaller one be okay? So I love that. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned sustainability and just being environmentally minded. What does that mean to you? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at my house, obviously living in a smaller space, 175 square feet, I was lowering my environmental footprint because there's fewer building materials and, of course, heating and cooling the space. There's just less of that. And then kind of a byproduct of that is also just purchasing fewer things. So I think that's a big part of sustainability as well, is that what you talked about with a regular size house, it's so easy to just fill up your house with stuff. Anytime I lived in a bigger house, we just filled every room with stuff. And so I think actually a big part of sustainability, just aside from my small house, is that accumulating fewer things. And we have kind of a few different philosophies that we adhere to. One is the kind of buy me once idea, where you buy something of quality. Like my classic example is a cast iron cooking pan and maybe a chef's knife and a good cutting board. With that, you can make a lot of great meals, and you're not buying a bunch of gadgets for your kitchen that do one thing and eventually they break down, they wear out. And not only are there more resources that went into that thing, but also you're now putting things into the landfill. So for me, sustainability is also very much about the things I buy, being very intentional with my purchases and just accumulating fewer things and having things that really last a long time as well.
Yeah. So consumerism, I think, is something that I talk about a lot on this show, because we don't even stop to think about it sometimes, right? We live in this world where it's just, that's kind of just the norm, and we've been put into it. And unless somebody comes along and makes us think a little bit about like what that looks like for us. So I think you're absolutely right. I think in any situation, just being mindful of the things we bring in, because they just bring stress. They take money away from us that we could use for something else that we love, right? And add to the landfills and all of that. So I'm totally with you on that. I think that the bringing all the things in our house
it's something that I struggle with. And I think a lot of people struggle with just filling up the space. But just being more intentional about that is so good for not only the environment, but also just us mentally, right?
Yeah. And you're in your pocketbook and everything else. And something you can't have anything, right? Even in our tiny house, like it is a very well designed space and there's lots of storage, but we do have things elsewhere. We have a few Rubbermaids in a garage. We live on a farm in a garage there. And because we have our hiking gear that we can't always fit in the tiny house. Of course, being in Canada, we have four seasons. We have all of our summer clothes and all of our winter clothes and our snowshoes and our boots. And so it's sometimes not always realistic to think that I can have everything in 175 square feet. Like maybe if you live in California or something where it's very warm and you just meditate all the time, then that's all you need, right? but for me, it was very much about being intentional with the way I was living. And I think that's a big part of the tiny house movement, is that intentionality. So, and I think people in regular houses can absolutely do that too, right? We talk about consumerism instead of just that one or two clicks to buy something, making that impulsive choice, maybe step back and say, oh, do I actually need that thing? Is that something that actually I am required to have, or is it just something that I want right in the moment? Is that just filling a small need right now? And another thing that I try to do as much as possible is to buy used first, if possible. So looking at various websites that sell used things, that way I'm not creating, again, more waste in the landfill, and I'm not having something made in China that's coming to my place and being transported as well. That's the whole other thing. But also it's already exists, right? So you can enjoy that thing, because for me, it's that idea of better to wear out than rust out. Like, why not use something and love it and get a good use out of it than just have it sit there and collect dust? So having fewer things and being intentional with the things that you do have makes you enjoy them more and yeah, saves a whole bunch of money and energy.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to me, and you could stop me if I'm wrong, but you have this very abundance mindset where you have what you need and you're going to, you know, make sure that you purchase the things that are quality, that fill you up, that fill you with joy, that, you know, are purposeful to you, even if it's a fun thing, right? But it's something that, you know, like your hiking gear, it's something that you guys enjoy. That's time spent with loved ones. That's time spent outside, something that you enjoy. I think that's always so important. I think that many of us live in more of a scarcity mindset where we feel like we better get this, or, you know, we have to do all these things on our schedule and all of that. So I think that's such a good place to be and a good reminder for all of us. And the other thing is that you mentioned that I love is just reminding ourselves that it is okay to buy things that we love, just to think about them first, right? To think through them. A lot of times when I talk about decluttering or getting rid of things, people's first reaction is that it's like a sacrifice. And I think when we get more into it, we realize that it's more of a benefit to our lives to have less, but enjoy what we have rather than just have clutter everywhere and it just be a burden on us. So I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, there's a lot there for sure. I could keep going if you want.
Well, we love anything that you have. I am always about just practical tips for people on this show, you know, something that they can take away. So do you have not everybody obviously that's listening wants to move into a tiny house, but I do know that the majority of people who are listening are looking for something different than the norm. They're looking for something that can break them away from feeling busy, feeling overwhelmed by, you know, all the stuff around them, feeling rushed all the time, and just making more connections and more intentional choices. So do you have some, you know, simple steps that maybe you've taken or that would be great for my audience, no matter what size home they live in?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, looking at the things in the house, as far as the actual downsizing process, it took place over actually kind of 4 years. I did that big purge when I decided I was going to build the house and got rid of so many things. And that was an interesting moment because I had that feeling of like, yeah, I need these things because I have them and I don't want to get rid of them. I had four bicycles and I thought, why do I need four bicycles? And one person can only ride one bike at a time. And I got rid of 70 articles of clothing, all sorts of things in the kitchen, also tons of stuff. And I can think of maybe one or two things that I kind of wish I hadn't got rid of, and they're pretty easy to replace. So I think if you're looking at it kind of decluttering, that would be something to consider, is to look at what you're using regularly and over time kind of slowly getting rid of things and also just not accumulating things. Obviously, living in 175 square feet, that's a lot easier. It just really forces you to not buy stuff because where are you going to put it, right? But if you can do that, that's beneficial, I find. Do you want me to go into the busy side? I know that's your last question.
Sure. Anything that you have for us is fine.
You want me to go to the busy part already?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think as far as being busy, definitely a lot of people feel that way for sure. And I'm not immune to that, but I found that going through this transition of downsizing and even just deciding to build a tiny house, it's really an unconventional way to live, right? It's not a lot of people do it, especially building your own house. And so it really forced me to take a look at my life and what my goals were and what was important to me and really focusing as much energy as I could into that. And part of the reason it took 4 years is because I was still working a full-time job in post-secondary and I had other commitments, right? But I intentionally was spending a large portion of time on that project. And sometimes it wasn't always great, but sometimes that meant not seeing my friends all the time. It was like, you know what? I really need to work on the house and I will see you later. And that's okay, right? So looking at your life and where what you want to prioritize, I think would be an important thing to talk about. And trying to let go of as many things that are holding you back in that regard. So yeah, maybe it's more time with family. Maybe it's you want to further your career or go back to school. And I think so much of this is a mindset and that we feel like we're a bit trapped and we don't have control, but I would actually argue that we do have control. And it actually makes me think of a monkey trap. Do you know what a monkey trap looks like, Jenna?
I do, but will you explain it to
sure,
the audience?
I will explain it to people who don't know what a monkey trap looks like. There's lots of monkeys in Colorado, apparently.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen one, but the theory is you take a coconut and you cut a hole in it, and then you chain it to a tree and you put some rice in there. And then the monkey comes along and he grabs the rice, but with his hand, his closed fist, his hand is too big to get out of the coconut. And so he's trapped. But all he has to do is just let go of the rice, but he doesn't. It's a psychological trap. And he's stuck and he's pulling and he can't get away, but he doesn't let go. And I see that as a great example of ourselves and our lives in that we feel like we have these certain commitments and these things that we need to be doing to be a certain way. And it's great to have aspirations. And obviously you want to, again, maybe look after your family or your career or go post-secondary, going to school, things like that. But if you're just treading water and if you're saying yes to everything and you're so busy and genuinely busy, you don't have time for the things that do matter. Well, then you have to maybe look at your life and say, am I trapped? Am I saying yes to those things that I maybe aren't that important in the grand scheme of things? So as much as I can, I try to, yes, live intentionally, much like the tiny house, in that what sort of projects do I want to take on that are important to me, or again, spending time with certain people that is important to me, and very much prioritizing that. So as much as people can, I would encourage them to try to do that.
Yeah, I think you brought up such a good point, and that's the mindset piece. I think that's where it all starts, right? Is really realizing why we think the things that we think and why we make the choices that we make, and then trying to change them to match our values and the things we want to be doing and our goals that we have and aspirations. So I really love that. Now, you mentioned also that it took you quite some time to do the decluttering process, that it's kind of a 4-year process. You did a big purge and then maybe you had to go back and do some more. And I think that's something that I often talk about, especially if you bring stuff in, you have to keep purging. But as you were building, was it that you saw like, wow, I really have less space than I was thinking, or did it just get easier to start getting rid of stuff, or how did that look for you?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I did the big purge. And I think when you talk about that mindset, it's very important, because knowing that I was going to be moving into 175 square feet really set me up for success in that way, in that that 4-year purge was kind of also not accumulating things, because I knew that, hey, I'm moving into this space. I can't buy that motorcycle and that, you know, hot air balloon or something, whatever I was wanting to buy. So that really helped. And also living the way we do. So we're off grid. And so that means running off solar power. And so I actually even that helped in my transition as well, our transition, my partner and I, in that I was looking at like my appliances, my electronic appliances, again, for the kitchen is a great example. And looking at things that, hey, can I replace electronics with maybe manual things. So a good example is a popcorn popper. You know, you can just have a electric one that goes like it does. But you can get a stovetop popper that you just rotate by hand. And so I got a used one of those. And well, now I've gotten rid of a electronic appliance and I have a non-electronic appliance that will probably last longer. So that kind of helped as well in that decluttering, was having that very clear goal of we're living off grid. So we need to try to live in a way that's going to work with that. And having a lot of appliances and a lot of electricity demand was not something that we could do. So that really helped in that transition. But the interesting thing was that we got rid of a lot of stuff, but I never actually put everything into the house because that just seems like so much work. I never put anything into the tiny house until we moved. So we, you know, the usual moving process, people get rid of things anyways because we don't need that anymore. I don't want to pack it, leave it, I don't want it. But it wasn't until we moved to the farm that we started moving things into the tiny house. And then we actually got a better sense of how much space we had and what did fit and what didn't fit. And like I said, we do have a few things in some Rubbermaid. So it wasn't that we had to have everything in 175 square feet, but that was interesting going into it because I had an idea, but I didn't really know. And I think that's another maybe idea for your listeners, is that you don't have to have it all figured out from day one, right? Even if you are downsizing or you're moving to a different place or you're decluttering, whatever your goals are, you don't have to figure it out from day one. Like you can start, see how it goes, adjust, like you said, keep decluttering. And so even the process now with our tiny house, it's continual, right? We're still actually, even a year in, making little adjustments and moving little things. And hey, how does this actually work? So it's not that from day one, we were like, good, we've downsized, our life is perfect. There was some adjustments. And actually, speaking of adjustments, when I built the house, I thought, well, you know, you have your core things in your house, your bed and your kitchen and your living room, but you go to the gym and you go to your office. And there's so many things that you do outside of your home that you don't really need to do it at home. And that was in 2017 I started. And then when the pandemic hit, we all had to stay home, right? And so now my partner and I work from home on our computers in 175 square feet, right? Our living room is now our office. And we didn't plan for that. I mean, no one did, but we just didn't have the space. And so I was actually really amazed at how easily we adapted to such a small space. And I think, again, it goes back to that mindset where we didn't say, oh, this is awful, I hate my life, this is horrible, why are you so close to me? It was like, it was an adventure now. It was like, we can do this and hey, this is fun, let's figure it out. Now I'm bouldering around things instead of walking through a hallway. So by having that mindset of let's embrace this, we've downsized, can we put our office in our tiny house? Sure, why not? That went so much further than trying to force it and resisting. So the more that people can embrace change and embrace those ideas, I think the easier the transition will be.
Yeah, I could see where, you know, a year in, you have kind of figured this thing out, but there's probably a lot you've learned along the way, right? That you didn't know moving in. I'm sure you did your research and you looked at other tiny houses and figured out the best situation. But of course, we never really know until we're in it, and making changes and adjustments as we grow. And then as the seasons of your life change too, you know, if you have children and they're growing, or, you know, you're single and then you have a partner or any of those things, you know, all those seasons create changes. So I could see where you guys are still kind of tinkering with what works and what doesn't work and makes sense. I know when I first graduated from college, my now husband, he wasn't my husband then, but we went on a cycling trip around New Zealand. We decided to take a year off from work and go try to cycle the whole country. And we had never ridden, I mean, we've ridden bikes like just regularly, but not on roads and not, you know, long distance. So we were kind of silly and we took everything we could, you know, like I had a nice pair of clothes with me just in case we went to church, and I had books that I was going to read every night. And, you know, I had all these things in my panniers on my bike, and we literally got rid of things at every campground for the first like 4 days. We were like, oh, these books, we're not going to read the whole time we're here. And, you know, all those things. So it's just like that though, with our lives too. And I constantly am telling my kids that story to remind them that you think you need it until you realize you don't, like, and then once you get rid of it, you don't usually miss it. So it's just a process of figuring out what's best. And it's different for everybody, right? Like getting rid of 70 articles of clothing, like you said, would probably give somebody a heart attack that's listening. And to some people, they'd be like, oh yeah, clothes don't matter to me at all. And so it's just kind of different for every person out there, but just learning to live intentionally like you guys are doing. It sounds too like this experience has been a huge transition for you. I mean, like just a transition in your life, meaning you've learned so much as far as it's changed your mindset about things. It sounds like you're spending about like you're changed your spending and just all kinds of things. Would you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think, like I mentioned, that living unconventionally, even deciding to live this way, I had to look at my life and say what was important. And do I want to do what everyone else is doing? And I decided that no, I don't. and it was actually, there were times where I was wanting to quit for sure, partly because it was just too difficult and this was too much and I can't do it. And my partner calmed me down and told me that I could, but it was also that doubt as well, because I was going against the norm. It's like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? I should be buying a house and getting a mortgage, and this is not responsible. I shouldn't be doing this. And I really had to push against that. And now being on the other side, it's so, how do I describe it? It's just so empowering to be living this way, living my values environmentally, having built my own house is a huge accomplishment. And even just, again, going back to that mindset, knowing that, look, I can build my own house and I can live in 175 square feet. What else can I do? Right. Like what, it just, the sky's the limit all of a sudden. Like if I can do that, then the world is my oyster. If I put enough work and time into something. So I think that's something else I've learned as well, that once you accomplish something, maybe it's downsizing, maybe it's decluttering, maybe it's doing that bike trip. That sounds like such a fun thing. Once you've done those things and gone out of your comfort zone, doing it again becomes so much easier. And you also attract people who think like you as well. And then, you know, again, that's the reason why I'm talking to you today. It's not because I live in a regular house and have a regular life. I have a different life, right? And you could be afraid and think that I'm not going to fit in or what will people think of me, but perhaps instead thinking, you know, what could my life look like and what do I actually want to do? And that was another thing I was thinking about as far as that transition. When I talked about my partner, you know, talking me off the cliff and encouraging me, it was also those supports as well, right? We think that we have to do these things on our own, but so much of it is that community and like-minded people. When I was building the house, again, pre-pandemic, I hosted probably 50 people through couchsurfing.com, travelers who were like yourself, biking across the country or hitchhiking or living in a van or something. And every one of those people I met really inspired me to my own journey in tiny living. It wasn't that I was, you know, working a 9-to-5 and living a regular life, we'll call it. And then just one day I decided to live in a tiny house. It was that transition and meeting those people and hearing their stories that, wow, you can live in a van. One guy, he hitchhiked from Poland in Eastern Europe to Las Vegas, Nevada. So yeah, all the way across Europe, he hitchhiked and then he boat hiked across the Atlantic and then hitchhiked all the way through the States because he loved Snoop Dogg and hip hop. And he had this hashtag hitch to Snoop thing. So he wanted to go to one of his concerts and meet Snoop Dogg, and he did it. And he had this great story. And yeah, he was just traveling all through North America, just doing what he wanted to do. And he had the clothes on his back and that's really all he needed. And he was happy. And you might look at that person and go, that's crazy. But for him, like that's where his values were. And he didn't hold on to the stuff. And he was majorly downsizing. And some ways with the tiny house, it's like, I was a little bit jealous of some of those people. Cause it's like, I got this thing that I have, it's keeping me here, but I could also live it in winter. So have fun hitchhiking. but yeah, just meeting those people who are living unconventionally really inspired me. And I think that's a huge part of any successful transition, is that who are the people who are uplifting you and encouraging you, and hold on to those people. And if there are people who say that it's a bad, whatever you're doing is silly or irresponsible, or that's a bad idea, maybe don't listen to those people as much, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, but don't let that stop you.
Yeah. I think sometimes we just get in our own way, don't we? Like if we could just get out of our own way and stop stopping ourselves from doing the things that we want to or pursuing the ideas that we have. Even if we fail, then we fail and we get back up and we try it a different way. Or if it doesn't work out the way we had planned, you know, I think that we just stop ourselves often because of what we hear from the outside, all that comparison and how we think we're supposed to live. But you're right, the people that you meet, and it sounds like you're in this realm as well, that are doing exactly what they want to be doing, and not just following what they think they're supposed to be doing, are the freest. They feel the lightest and are having the most fun with their life and just enjoying what's going on. Not to say that it means life is easy and everything's peachy, but just that, you know, you can find so much more joy in doing hard things if they're the things that match your values and the goals that you have set.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you're content, if you're fine with living, we'll call it a conventional life, if you want a 2,000 square foot house and 3 kids and 2 cars and the vacations, and great. Live your life, be happy, right? Not everyone has to do what I'm doing or hitchhike across, you know, half the country or half the world rather. But yeah, just taking the time to question, and like you said, get out of your own way in that, yeah, what do I actually want, and figuring that out and going from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you reminded me when you were talking about the gentleman who was hitchhiking around around the country. When we were in New Zealand cycling, we met a gentleman. We just called him Euro. We don't know his real name. He was from Europe. And he said he wasn't really from anywhere, because when he retired, he decided to sell every single thing he had and just start cycling the world and see how many places he could see before he died. And he was in his mid-60s when we met him, and he'd been cycling for about 8 years, hadn't stopped. So that was all he did. And he'd seen all these countries. And, you know, every morning, instead of filling his water bottle up with water, he filled it up with wine, and then he'd take off and start riding. And we saw him probably 3 or 4 times on our journey around. Like, we just crossed paths with him at some of the things. But we just thought that was so neat because he was in his 60s, and it's not like he was a teenager just out of high school thinking I'm free. He just decided, like, I've always wanted to see the world, I'm going to do it now. And so, you know, that's not right for everyone. I don't picture myself cycling the world all by myself, drinking wine from my water bottle at 60. But I think for some people, just to hear that story, like you said, and just be inspired by it and think, well, what do I want to be doing? And how could I do that? Even if it's not right now and it's in the future, how could I make that happen? So,
yeah, no, and that's a great example too, of like, it's never too late either, right? You think that, oh, it's too late for me to go on that bike trip. Well, clearly not, if the 60 something year old can do it. So it's never too late to change your life and to do what you want to do. Even if that's those small increments, even starting today is a better than not doing it at all. Right. And what I love about that story is that, you know, it's the same thing with the people I've met who are traveling and even living the way that we're living now. Like, if you talk to someone who said, well, I'm going to travel the world for 8 years, are you insane? Did you win the lottery? Do you have hundreds of millions of dollars? How are you going to afford that? But he clearly did. You know, he kept his costs low, and by biking and probably, again, like myself, couch surfing and meeting locals and things. So I think that's another part of it too, is that whatever your goals are, whether it's a tiny house, whether it's traveling or decluttering, like, if you're determined to do it, you're going to find a way to do it, right? It's not, and money isn't going to stop you, or lack of it, or resources, or whatever it might be. So I think that's a great example of someone who was living their life the way they wanted to and didn't get held back by, well, how much is that going to cost me? And how much are the flights? And I have to stay in these hotels, and just do it. Just go do it.
Yeah. Just look for the things you can control, right? And don't worry so much about the things that, you know, you'll figure it out, right? We always do. We figure out the things that are important to us. So there's a question I always ask all my guests, and I usually say moms, but I'm not going to say moms this time because I feel like you're talking to a wider audience, which I love. So if you could grab a busy person by the shoulders, look them right in the eyes, and tell them one thing, what would it be?
Yeah, I would just say, stop being so busy. Because like we talked about, it is a choice, right? You know, you don't have to say yes to these things. So I would tell them to look at their life and prioritize what matters. And there's this idea of time confetti, in that we have a lot of free time, but it's in these little bits, and it feels like we don't have any of it. And a lot of times we're just checking our phones or something. So the more that you could block off large chunks of time for the things that matter to you, the less busy you're going to feel, the more time you're going to have for those projects and maybe those people, and the happier you're going to be. So stop being so busy. Stop making excuses.
Yeah, because it is a choice, right? Busy is a choice. I think we think busy is a badge, but it's really just a choice. So yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. I think it's, we have this notion in our society that, like you said, it is a badge. It's that being busy is seen as being successful, right? Because it's something that just drives me crazy, actually. When you talk to someone, maybe at your work or something, and, oh, how you doing? Busy. I'm busy. I'm very busy. I'm super, super busy. Like, that's always their response. And first off, they're probably not that busy, but it's just, they, I feel like it's just this default of the busier I am, that means that I'm more important and, or I'm just a successful person, because if I'm not busy, then I'm homeless or something. Like, you're like, yeah, it's the, very much that, again, we go back to that mindset, but that's also the culture. And actually talking with, on my show, one of my guests talking about the just transition was Richard Wilkinson. He's a British epidemiologist, and he wrote The Spirit Level, talking about inequality. And I feel like that actually ties into what we've been talking about, in that, like, in unequal societies, and actually the States is very much an unequal society, people tend to big themselves up. They try to look more important than they are. And that, it, you know, being busy is part of that. Also, that gets into the consumerism too, where you're buying things to have those status symbols. So I think the more that we can kind of push against that and say, you know, maybe, and I never tell people I'm busy. I just say that I'm working on this project, or I'm really excited about this, or I'm doing this. And it's not that I'm just defaulting to I'm busy. It's that I'm doing the things that are important to me. So, and then, and like your example of the person biking or the other people I've met, I think the more that people are real with each other, that would be another good thing to be. It's like, stop pretending. And if you are busy, then maybe ask for help, but be real with people and say, like, yeah, I'm stressed, or I'm feeling great, or this is going well, or I'm happy, or I'm not. And instead of just defaulting to always being busy, just be a genuine, honest person. And that's going to really resonate with people too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that biker that we met, he was actually really busy. I mean, he was riding his bike like 20 miles a day from sun up to sundown. And, but I'm sure he didn't consider himself busy, because every minute of it he loved. And so that's something we need to remember too, is like, sometimes it's okay to be busy doing the things we love doing, as long as we're not just busy because we're running from one thing to the next and things that aren't fulfilling us and just making us feel crazy, right? We don't feel busy if it's an entire day doing something we love doing, even though we were actually doing it all day, right? So there's a big difference between, like what you're saying, I think people just say I'm busy because they think that's what they need to say to, you know, be looked at like they're doing something and they're not lazy or doing nothing. But
yeah, because if you imagine if someone just said, how you doing? And I'm good. I haven't really done anything today. I read a book or had a nap. You'd be like, what's wrong with this person, right? You should be busy, or they're watching, you know, like, it's very much that pressure we put on ourselves somehow, even though, like, a lot of times we're all feeling the same way. We all feel like we're taking on too much, or we have too much stuff, or we're spending too much. And you feel like, well, if it's just me, I'm sure everyone else is doing fine, but maybe they're not doing fine and they're lying about it. And then with this perpetual cycle of people just being not genuinely themselves and doing things that don't add value, and that's not healthy either.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've loved this conversation so much, Michael. Thank you so much. Can you tell us where we can connect with you more and learn from you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I briefly mentioned the In Over My Head podcast. That's the show that I produce and host. And the idea around that actually is around the tiny house, in that I built my house and I've downsized and I'm trying to lower my environmental footprint, but I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so in over my head trying to save the planet on my own. So I talk to environmental experts about various topics in environmentalism, so how we can effectively tackle the climate crisis. And so, if you go to www.inovermyheadpodcast.com or anywhere you get podcasts, you can find the show, and you can find the email info@inovermyheadpodcast.com. And I don't use social media, partly, again, with that downsizing, minimizing my life, deleted my social media accounts years ago. So you cannot find me on social. Write me an email and I'll respond, and it'd be much more rewarding. So that's where people can find me.
That's awesome. Well, I will make sure to link to those, to your website and your podcast in the show notes for people so they can find you. And I love what you're doing. I think that any way we can, one, follow our values with our money and our actions and everything else, the better it is for our lives. But I also love to see when people are making choices that are totally different than the norm or whatever you want to call it. And that are helping the planet, because I think often when we think about helping the planet, we think it's like this giant thing that just I can't do anything about. And if we learn from people like you that it doesn't, you know, everybody can do something. And I think what you're doing is awesome. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on the show, Jenna.
All right. That was my interview with Michael from In Over My Head podcast. Make sure you check out his show and go to his website, inovermyhead.com. And, you know, check out his email list. It sounds like he is not on social media at all for very good reason. So go send him an email, let him know you heard him on this show, and ask him any questions that you may have after listening. All right. Have a wonderful week. I cannot wait to talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining me on the Simple Home Podcast this week. It truly is a blessing to have you here. If you've been enjoying this podcast and found encouragement here, can you take a moment to leave a rating and a review on iTunes? This is how podcasts grow and how they reach larger audiences, and I am so thankful to get to work with so many women and spread this message. So if you have a moment, head to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. I love to read what you have to say, and I might just spotlight you on an upcoming episode. Also, if you think a friend could use this kind of encouragement, go ahead and share it with them. Tell them about the podcast. Tag me on Instagram with a picture of you listening. Whatever we can do to encourage more women to live differently. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week.